Hey everyone, before we get into Are You the One, I just wanted to talk to you about a couple things. First of all, I'm hoping you all are enjoying our podcast, and if you are, we were hoping you could subscribe. You can do so at robisawebsite.com/challengeiTunes, or you can just do so by searching for us in the podcast store. The second thing I wanted to talk to you about is the Rob Has a Podcast app. It features everything from the Rob Has a Podcast planet in one central spot. There's, of course, all of Rob's coverage of Survivor and Big Brother, post-show recaps covering The Walking Dead, Sons of Anarchy, and many other shows, and of course our home with the reality TV wrap-ups. So go to robsawebsite.com/app, or just search for it in the iTunes store so you can be sent into the truth booth and enjoy your time with the wrap-up app and the honeymoon suite. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Are You the One Rahapa podcast for season 2, episode 7. I am Brian Cohen. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are we doing tonight?
I want to say that I'm doing well, but I'm going to give a little behind the scenes in that Brian and I just had a 20-minute conversation about the murder podcast serial, and now I'm a little freaked out. But we're going to talk about Are You the One.
Are we, though?
But I'm freaked out.
I'm not still on my mind. Do you think I'm not a pair of perfect matches?
That's really messed up because she was murdered. Anyway, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, don't worry about it. I also want to see the Venn diagram, I guess, between Are You the One watchers and Serial podcast listeners.
But in Jeopardy also to create a trend diagram? What's the three? Well, I don't know.
I think it's still a Venn diagram. I don't think there's anything like bi about it. Like, but whatever. Let me know.
I'm calling it a tray diagram. We're making that a thing.
So we're off to a great start here.
Are You the One? This is what we're here talking about, right?
What did you, what reaction to episode 7, season 2?
As always, it's always enjoyable, but I think the end result may be getting a little too overblown. I think last week people were freaking out with another blackout that they sucked. They're never going to do this. And I think this week people may be freaking out the other way, thinking, oh, they got 6. Now they're definitely going to get it. I still think they're a long ways away.
I don't know. I liked this episode because I finally started to see some couples that by process of elimination, like, will have to be perfect matches. So I feel like I'm getting, but again, I don't feel like I'm at episode 7. I feel like I'm at episode like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. But I found that a lot of the couples that paired up, a lot of people that I had problems with personally, I started to like more. I think I like them more in the relaxed state with the people that they actually like. But I want to know what you think about that. So John starts off the episode saying that they need to go for the people they're interested in. Is that not what they've been doing?
You know, this whole season's been like this constant struggle between strategy and heart and opening your heart but doing the smart thing. And I still am, like, it just seems like every decision they're making isn't really with strategy. Like, I still haven't really seen many thought process. I guess this week we kind of had a hint of it, but I don't really see what strategies have been followed through on. Like, I feel like everyone's just going with who they like, right?
I think it's twofold. One, first of all, MTV is doing us no favors because they're really not showing us any of the strategy until, like you said, this episode. I don't know if they think it would be boring or if it's not the audience. I mean, I told you earlier that Are You the One is like not the audience for strategic thinking and gameplay, but I kind of am being proven wrong. I watched season 1 by myself without thinking about it, without talking about it. And from kind of like engaging with like you and the listeners and everything else, like there's a huge, huge community of people who are interested in the strategy of it. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that shown. But I think it's two parts. It's the first part of the strategy is people thinking, who would MTV pick as my match? Based on what I said, based on what my parents would say, based on what my exes would say, like, who's my match? Who? What did I ask for? And I think that has proven to be the worst method. And then the second part is, yeah, like, who are they, the strategy they're using to vote people into the truth booth, the strategy they're using to compete in the challenges, like who they pair up with or pick in the challenges and the strategy they use to match up with. And I think we get a little bit of that tonight. So we'll get into it, but I'd like to see a little bit more, especially because they keep driving home that, like, stop using strategy. And I think as viewers, we're like, we don't think you are.
I don't think, other than Ryan, I don't think anyone watching the show is like, oh my God, these people are way too strategic. Like, I don't see that at all. And even if you are trying to be strategic, like, you should be strategic, because obviously if you could just figure it out based on who you're initially drawn to, then the show would be over in 2 weeks. Because everyone would find out who they like and you'll be a perfect match. But obviously that's not the case. So you need to use some strategy to figure this out. But it just seems like very few people are trying to use strategy. And even some people who are using strategy are really bad at it.
Well, I wonder how natural this setting is in terms of, like, yeah, if you just went with the person you were most attracted to off the bat, or like found a connection with off the bat. But yeah, we saw in certain cases where it didn't work, like Brown and Curtis, but when you're thrust into this situation, like, I feel like people are maybe looking at people in a different, through a different lens than they would be just in the real world. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I still kind of think in the back of a lot of people's minds, it's like, oh, the survey I took, I told them I wanted Shelby and here's Shelby. So she's my match.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can understand how it's a tough balancing act, and like maybe at least in the beginning, but then, I mean, you've already gone through now everyone's top two choices, so you would hope that people would lose that mindset.
The person who's who thinks they're being strategic, but is just being rude, Brandon, your boy Brandon. Now, I'm no an expert on expressions, but he calls the house, says the house is full of peanut brains. I believe the expression is pea brains.
I believe so too.
Correct me if I'm wrong here.
Unless he's giving reference to Charlie Brown and the peanut gang. I don't know what he's really talking about, but I think he got what he was saying. But I mean, he has a degree, so I can't really disagree with him.
I was going to say, unless you count a high school degree, I only have one degree, but I do know the expression is pea brain.
Now, I do have two degrees, so that means I'm allowed to run the house, right? I should be able to come in there and tell them who to match up with who. That's the rule, right?
List your degrees. Pixar didn't happen.
I have a challenge degree. I have an MBA in challenge geography.
So Brandon's whole thing is, A, be a complete D-bag, and then B, just remember who you sat with, and then we'll all coordinate. Like, that to me sounds like an extreme oversimplification of what needs to be done here.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be like, oh, wait, you sat next to this person? Oh, then it's this, we're done. Like, it's going to take a lot more effort than that, I'll think, Brandon. Either he doesn't realize that, or they just, like, took a small snippet to make it seem like he does realize it, but, I mean, I think one of the people we had a comment saying, like, she did this like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and she was able to figure it out. I don't think any of these people are sitting down to try to figure this out for 2 hours.
My question here about Brandon that's been reoccurring, and I haven't brought it up, but I just, you know, it's episode 7, I have to bring it up. So he has these aspirations of being a poker player. I feel like he has the worst poker face in the world. Like, can someone so emotional be a good poker player?
No. Unless maybe he just strictly plays online. But yeah, if he was in like an environment, I feel like if someone said something the wrong way, he would like flip out and turn over the table. I don't think that's going to go over too well.
Yeah. So good luck to him. But I don't see him.
To see him on the World Series of Pokemon, though.
Yeah, I don't see him raking in the chips anytime soon. But
hey, if you do win, Brandon, remember, I was your number one fan.
Not a fan of Brandon is Brianna.
No.
And she hates everything about Brandon, which I'm on board with again, I think. I didn't like him, then he redeemed himself with me. And after these, like, same repetitive episodes, I'm with Brianna.
Yeah, she's, what is he called? The stepchild that she would kill. So, I think that's a good relationship.
And then we have questions about Brandon, who's worse, Brandon or Layton. So we'll get to those after we talk about the Layton part of this, like, little pre-challenge episode. This was, like, the last thing I wrote in my notes, I was going through them, and I don't know why I wrote this, but the last thing I wrote was Layton sucks. I don't know what he did at the end of this.
It's just a fact. Like, you don't need to extrapolate on it.
That was my summary. But he starts talking about Jenny and how what Jenny did with Anthony turned me off, as though the matchup had nothing to do with it. Like, I don't know why, but Layton seems to think that he has a say in who his perfect match is.
I think a lot of people still think that. They're like, oh, well, I like him, but I'm going to go with him But like, it's already decided. Leighton, like, if they got one or two beams last week, Leighton definitely would have been staying with Jenny right now. But because they got no beams, this is now his rationale. I'd be like, oh, I never wanted her anyway. Like, no, you wanted her, but now you can or shouldn't have her. And she probably doesn't really want you anyway. So this is just his kooky rationale.
So we have two similar questions. I'm going to read them back to back. So Kyle Orta asks, which one is worse, Leighton or Brandon? Where did they find these two guys? And Alex Panda Moran asks, who is worse to watch, Leighton on his high horse or Brandon and his stage five clinger status?
I mean, I think Leighton's worse. Just because I think at least Brandon's knows that he's... I think Brandon's a little aware of what he's doing that he probably shouldn't. Like, he says, like, he's done with the game. So, obviously, he knows this isn't beneficial to the game, what he's doing. I think it's just Leighton's personality just coming through. So, I think Leighton is worse.
I'll agree with you on that. I think it's really, really close. I think that Leighton is worse. Like, if I had to spend a second with one of these two people, I'd have to pick Brandon. But if I'd have to watch one of them on TV for another second, I think I'd have to pick Leighton. Like, I think Leighton is a worse person, but he's easier to watch. I'm, like, sick of Brandon's, like, emotional, angry, like, nonsensical meltdowns.
You're not a fan of him attacking the ocean? No, you don't like that side of
it? Oh, we'll get to that. Buckle up, everyone. We'll get to that.
The girls' day.
Wait, before we get to that, I have to air one grievance, another grievance. This whole podcast is just me airing grievances. I'm sorry, everyone. But
it's festivus for the rest of us.
This is what really grinds my gears here, is that this episode is like, you know, the best of the worst, and everybody's acting as though now, like, they've been held back by some unknown force, and now they're finally free to pursue the person they liked from the beginning. And this starts here with John, where John's talking about Jenny and saying that, like, Jenny was the girl that he was interested in from day one. Where do we see that? Because I thought Christina was that girl, and then, you know, Jasmine was like, Jasmine was that girl last week. And yeah, so it's just like, oh, all of a sudden, like, the seas part, and out of nowhere, you're free to date each other. What happened was your first choice is bailed. You can't have them anymore. And so now you're acting like your second, third, fourth choice is number one. And that's frustrating me. I wish they were at least like, I think she's kind of cute. I mean, if I had to pick out of who's left, I like her. Like, that's what I want to start hearing.
That would be a very depressing show. But just to, like, play a little defense for John. Maybe he did really like Jenny in the beginning, but I think Jenny was just, like, so swooped up in, like, the Leighton and Anthony stuff pretty early on that maybe he didn't want to try to, like, jump in between that, so he tried to go on his own way, and then maybe, like we were saying, wait for her to come back. So maybe that really was his thought process, that rather than go attack, or not attack, but really go after the cute blonde, he was going to hang back, wait to see what happens, and hopefully she'll come to him.
I mean, I was going to get into this later, but I think that John is really just intimidated, and that his, like, shyness and intimidation worked in his favor with Jenny, because it made it seem like he was so confident that he was willing to wait, when I just don't think he was willing to compete with Leighton and Anthony.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
But yeah, okay, that's fine. But I just do think the general theme was, like, all of these couples acting like they are in love after their, like, third and fourth pick.
Right. Which is not the case. You know, at least I don't think so.
Yeah. But yeah, no, take it to the challenge now. You know I love this challenge.
Yeah, so the competition of the day, we have a three-part, mostly involving the girls. The girls actually get to participate in the challenge. I bet the entire Twitterverse was thinking of you when Ryan went into detail about this challenge.
Well, first I thought to myself, finally, at least a partner challenge. You know what? I'll take the partner challenge. And then they hit me with the girls' day. Well done, MTV, because you got me. I first thought it was just going to be partners, and I was satisfied. And then I got even happier just to see the girls. And it was a really entertaining, you know, overtly sexual, but that's fine. I'm watching MTV. I don't have a problem with that. But I thought it was an entertaining challenge.
No, I agree. This was like a typical MTV goofy challenge that's entertaining.
It costs about like $30 to put it on All In.
Yeah. Get some paper cups, some hot dogs, some little marbles, and some honey. You do this at home, kids.
It's like Minute to Win It.
Exactly.
So what do you think of this move? So Everett pairs up, and Tyler claims to have taken herself out for strategy.
Yeah. She did not take herself out. She was not picked again, but she decided to rationalize it in her Hoenn. Which, I mean, at this point, like, she probably thought of all the different excuses she can use, but she was not picked. Like, that's what happened.
I was wondering why it took her 7 weeks to come up with this excuse. Like, I feel like I didn't get picked once, and I would immediately have excuses to make myself feel better on national TV.
Right.
But I liked her rationale that if you're not in a strong couple, you should, like, pull yourself to the side and let the strong couples compete. Although only one couple is going to get into the truth booth. So as long as one strong couple, I think it's more important to rig who wins than who gets matched.
Yeah. All you need is three strong pairs competing, and then you can figure out the rest. And then all you need is one strong pair to win. But whatever, let Tyler have her rationale. Don't take it away from her.
Okay, so what do you think of Ryan? Like, was there, I don't know if there was a name to this challenge. If there was, I missed it.
I didn't hear the name.
And that's fine. But I was like, oh, everything's great about this challenge. There's no goofy name. There's no, and then Ryan refers to hot dogs as tubes of meat.
I don't know. I have to assume Ryan, like, knew there would be a lot of out of context, inappropriate quotes. Because there were a couple, like, off the wall ones. I don't remember. I think it was Jasmine. He said, look at Jasmine double fisting. You got a great strategy there. Like, he has to know that's like a play on words, right?
No, I think he loves it. I think he's like kind of slimy and he lives for it. But I just didn't even think tubes of meat was like a good, like, out of context, inappropriate quote. Or, like, clever. I just thought it was stupid. No one knew what he was talking about until, you know, no one knew what he was talking about when Ellie wasn't excited about hot dogs until she heard that it was a hot dog.
And to be fair to the people who couldn't eat the hot dogs, like, you have to think about this. Those hot dogs were probably sitting out there for at least 2 hours, 3 hours before they were even eaten by them. So that's, like, 90-degree heat. Those hot dogs have to be pretty, like, pretty dogged by the time they were.
Well, Ellie gives a description enough to make me never want to eat any food item, much less a hot dog ever again, which says, like, you bit into them and grease was all in their mouth and it was nasty. Like, that sounds disgusting. Like, lukewarm grease mouth. Yeah.
And then Ryan was like saying, oh, this is $1 million challenge, guys. Come on, get it down. It's like, this has nothing. This challenge has basically nothing to do with them winning $1 million. Very, very little. This is not, like, I even get annoyed at Probst when he does this, like, when there's 11 people left saying this is a potentially $1 million challenge. It's like, Probst, there's a long way to go. Calm down. But for Ryan to say it in this situation, dude, this is not $1 million challenge.
I'm embarrassed to say that I missed him talking about that because I was so distracted by Alex.
He said it
Alex.
Twice, too. I thought I misheard him, and then he said it again. Oh, my God, Ryan.
I was too distracted by Alex's foot-long belly button chain hanging down to basically the bottom of her shorts or bathing suit.
What about the fact that she's comfortable with large objects around her mouth? She's been used to that.
I could not take my eyes off of that foot-long chain hanging from her belly button. It was like a pendulum, like she's a grandfather clock. there was a clearly set up for inappropriate quotes, and I didn't mind. I enjoyed overall A+ challenge.
Yes, very solid, very solid. And then I think Leighton was like upset with Ellie for not finishing. Like, Leighton, my God, dude, she's eating hot dogs. She's not like trying to like finish a marathon and she quit. Like, relax.
I don't care if she does quit a marathon. So, like, Leighton's now questioning if Ellie's his match only because she quits on the hot dog eating challenge. And by quits, I mean she vomits during the hot dog eating challenge. And my whole thing is, like, Leighton just wants a female version, maybe not even a female version, of himself.
He just wants himself.
But if he wants, like, all these good, quote-unquote good things, and he's competitive and he's country, he also has to take them being degrading and terrifyingly aggressive. Like, he has to get the bad. I want the bad with the good if he wants himself, because I think he wouldn't be able to date himself for 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that's just me. I wouldn't be able to date him for 15 seconds.
I wouldn't be able to get past 10, so you got more than me.
All right, so the winners of the challenge, we have John and Jenny automatically going to the date. What do you think about this when they do a solo date where only one person, you know, goes?
I kind of wish more of the dates were them on their own. I kind of think that's easier for, if the point of these dates are for them to get out of the house and really just get to know each other, I kind of feel like all the dates, they should all be on their own rather than in a group setting. Because if you're in a group setting, it's just like you're in the house.
I agree with that, but I do think that sometimes in the beginning, like, Jess and Leighton started on a date that they weren't on together. Like, I think in the beginning when matching up is, like, really random and you don't know if you're going to hit it off with the person you end up with, like, I think we get to see added match potentials that they are kind of on a six-person group date. But then we also get the drama, like, when Brandon and Christina are both on the date with two other people trying to be on their date. So I totally understand for, like, actual purposes of them succeeding, I think these one-on-ones are better. But for my entertainment, keep the six-person group date going.
If we're only here for entertainment, then I definitely agree. Keep them coming. I love that Jenny describes John. The reason why John is, like, desirable is because he has goals and motivations. I don't know. I just found that seemed like a weird thing to be focused on. I don't know.
That's like he has intelligence and brains. Yeah, like, I mean, that's the same, like, thing, isn't it?
He's a normal person. I don't know.
I guess, I mean, John does have this, like, lawyer thing going for him. So I think that he's, like, as opposed to, I'm sure all of them have real conversations where they're all aspiring to move to LA and be, like, actors / models / waiters. That John, like, not being about that life right now is probably attractive, but I'm not sure. But so then the people we have eligible for the truth booth are Brandon and Jasmine, Alex and Alex, and John and Jenny. And my first reaction to these three winning was, why didn't Alex and Alex take a dive and Dario and Ashley? Like, why totally wasn't that orchestrated?
I totally agree. I don't understand that either. And this, if we talk about some of the challenges that are not, you know, some of them are kind of tough to orchestrate because it just doesn't work out that way. But this one was just so easy for Alex to just not try to win and let Dario and Ashley win. I totally agree. I thought they would do it, but
and it makes no sense because at least, like, sometimes I understand they want to go on the date, so they don't really care. Like, they want the once-in-a-lifetime, like, Puerto Rico experience, whatever they're doing. But there was no date to be won here. Like, literally, it was just all strategy, and they botched it.
Yeah, and this is, again, like, there is no strategy. Stop saying they're doing too much strategy. There is none.
Well, I would never have ever thought that Alex and Alex would be in contention to be voted in.
No.
Like, not only, like, I was shocked that they didn't throw it, much less that people were rallying for them to be voted in. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. So we get the, Ryan teases up saying, oh, you know, you guys have been struggling, so we're going to give you some help along the way. And I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, they're really good. They're going to give them, like, a second truth booth or something. And they get to go on, like, a party. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, this party seemed like a blast. Like, it would be a lot of fun to go to, but I don't understand how that helps them in the game as opposed to anything else.
Well, it's kind of like I always thought this with, like, The Bachelor and certain shows where there's no difference between, not Bachelor in Paradise, but anyway, sorry. When there's no difference between, like, being in the house with the people you're trying to date and then going on the official dates. So, like, if they wanted to throw this party, like, they threw the lingerie party. Like, you'd think that they could do this every single night right. If they want the extra help. But I think there was something about them being removed and being, like, everyone having even more of an excuse to be drunk that brought out a lot that we saw. Now, whether or not this would have happened without this party, I'm not sure. But we have a question from Logan Messenger. Did you think Ryan was going to tell everybody that to help them there would be two truth booths, or did you expect the party bus? I have to say, I was like, oh, like, this is going to, like, throw out Ryan's theory that they don't want them to get matched. And then this completely supported it.
Yeah, I think I may have, like, tweeted this. I said that this now 100% supports my theory that I don't think they want them to win. Because if you're thinking about season one, their help was double truth booth and another time, I think, where they can throw any pair in. And now season two's help is a party on the beach. Like, I understand, like, the party on the beach, like I said, it looks like a lot of fun, but that is not a help for the game. Like, that's just a help to have them have more fun, but not for the game.
Another airing of grievances is that Ryan says, and I'm going to use the full expression that gets bleeped out, is someone's like, oh, is there a catch? But
Ellie
is there
says a catch? Ellie's very suspicious.
So is there a catch? And then Ryan says, yeah, like, the catch is you have to have a motherfucking good time. And Ryan tweeted, like, I was going to let this go. I was going to let it go. I don't like when someone curses on a show that they know is going to get bleeped out. Like, that bothers me because it's not cool. It's just annoying. And he tweets, you don't see at Tom Bergeron, who's the host of Dancing with the Stars, and also Hollywood Squares, or Ryan Seacrest dropping F-bombs, point Devlin, hashtag are you the one? First of all, if you're going to reference great hosts, you reference Steve Harvey and TJ Lavin. Second of all, don't put yourself in the same sentence as Tom Bergeron and Ryan Seacrest, unknown Ryan Devlin.
Right.
And you don't get points. And isn't, you don't give yourself points, like, and you don't get points.
Seacrest can't just drop F-bombs live on Fox. Like, I don't think that's going to go over very well.
I just saw this, and I wanted to be like, I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
So Ryan,
that's my, like, little I'm annoyed with Ryan moment. But yeah, this is like Ryan tries to be cool, says something robotic and awkwardly, and then pats himself on the back for doing so.
Yeah.
Gross.
Great job by him.
But we have another listener question.
Shout out to the listeners. We had a lot of good questions this week. Keep them coming.
Yeah.
Well done, guys.
Loving it. So, well, last week we got a question about why don't they get to go out? So I thought, like, psychic powers to our listeners, because then they do get to go out this week. Mm-hmm. Although I'm suspicious that they just, like, put them on the truck, set up around them, and then let them off the truck. Now, like, if this truck didn't actually go anywhere.
It's very interesting because I have to bring this up now, because when they did the quick honeymoon suite scene with Curtis and Shelby, they were in, like, a public place. I don't know if, did you catch that?
But yeah, it seemed like they were, like, at a resort.
Yeah, like, they were with, like, other, like, I always thought they were on their own. Like, they never had any interactions with other, but they were clearly in, like, a public pool, like, to interact with other people. I was kind of blown away by that.
See, I, like, don't even, when the honeymoon suite comes on, I write, like, why am I watching the honeymoon suite? Like, I don't care if they're with their entire families and there's, like, a wedding going on. Like, I don't want to see what's happening there. There was, like, one interesting thing with Curtis, but we'll get to it. Other than that, like, I don't care. I don't want to see these people, like, smooch. I don't want to see them fight. I don't want to see them tan. Like, I don't care. Get me back to the action.
Okay.
But, yeah, I guess it is interesting. It is, like, maybe we'll ask Brianna about that when we speak to her tomorrow. But, it would be interesting because, yeah, they do portray it as this, like, lavish, totally secluded thing. And they're, like, at Sandals.
Exactly.
But so we got a question. Nick Fishman said, didn't that bus seem like a vomit comet waiting to happen? And I'm from Jersey. I thought I knew party buses. But wow, like that party semi truck, like an 18 wheeler, whatever it was.
It's a semi truck, dude.
That was amazing.
I give MTV credit. They know how to throw a party, and that truck was decked out. Well done.
Well, the fact that you could, like, stand upright, like, I just dropped my microphone, sorry.
You want to get to that party.
The fact that you could, like, stand upright, like, the problem with the party bus is it's, like, always, you know, and you saw it, like, we're all moving around. Mm-hmm. But when you stand up, there's, like, a very thin aisleway, and, you know, there's limited mobility. This was, like, they all could have lit, like, if they were, like, this is your house for the rest of the time, like, I think they would have all been down.
Yeah, they had a lot of room to, like, move. Like, there was, like, space to move around. Like, you don't usually see that on a party bus, so. It was a semi-truck.
So, a lot of, you know, love-in goes down on this night out. And so we see Dario talking about Ashley, and Ashley's, like, grinding up on him. They're having a great time together. Let the record show that this was Brian's pre-show prediction.
This might be one of the greatest calls of my life.
Well, let's see. Let's wait before you say that, because I'd be really sad if they're not a match.
You will be sad. I'll be devastated. This is going to go on my resume.
No, I'll be sad for you. I won't be sad personally. I have no interest in
that. Top on my resume. Predicted Dario and Ashley preseason.
So he says that what I love about Dario is it's not even just drunk Dario. It's the way that Dario phrases things, like, gets away with saying anything. So he's like, Ashley's a diamond, but she's a diamond that's never been touched. But damn, that booty big. And what's amazing is that if Pratt said this or someone else, like, would have been like, I like her, but I don't like her because she's a virgin, but she's hot, so, like, maybe I'd hit it. Like, that's, like, the translation of, like, potentially basically what he said. But the way he says it just comes off like, oh, they're so cute together.
I really like Dario. I think he might be my favorite guy now at this point. He's just got, like, this calmness about him that he won't let anything, like, get to him. Like, he knows he's here for fun and hoping to find love or whatever, but he just seems like someone who knows just how to have a good time.
I want to know what shade of lipstick he's wearing I think, did you point this out to me at one point? His lips always look like pink, like really, really pink.
I wish I pointed this out. I did not point this
out. You didn't point this out, but do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
I'm going to tweet. All the screen caps look like fuchsia. Like, it's very in. It's very in that summer. It was very in that summer. So good for him. But anyway, all right, I'll move on. I thought you brought that up to me.
Does sounds like something I would bring up, but I thought it's...
I'll go back to the tapes that I have. No. Okay, sorry.
Listeners, go back to the tapes. We'll put our interns on it.
Jess and Layton make out, and she's like,
Layton,
I already
found
it.
Layton, move on.
Move on! But yeah, Jess is like, I'm over the money. I found what I'm looking for. I'm not giving up on Layton. Crazy eyes. And I feel bad for her because she keeps tweeting every episode like, if I knew he was saying this, I wouldn't be saying this. And we know. We support you, girl. It's okay.
I like Jess, but like the crazy eyes were in full effect at this party. Like really crazy eyes.
She comes off looking really, really bad. But it's, in fairness, like Layton is leading her on in a way. So
I agree.
I support her.
Definitely.
Crazy eyes and all. So, okay. Christina and Nate.
You can't get over that together?
Well, like, Christina's, like, so enamored by the fact that Nate can dance, but, like, can she not see that he's just wearing a vest? Like, we all see that, right? Like, he's just wearing a vest.
Like he's a pirate.
Oh, my God. Like, it's like Layton when he just showed up in the suit jacket, but he cut off the sleeve. So I don't know if it's better or worse.
Oh, maybe it's hot. Maybe he had a shirt and maybe it was hot and... didn't want to put the shirt back on. It's hot when you're dancing out there in 95 degree heat when you're wearing a wool hat.
So how do you want to do this? Let's see. Do you want to go couple by couple or in order as they did it, like just to juxtapose? Like, should we finish off the Christina and Nathan?
Yeah. We're already on it. We're on the dancer.
So then they have like a little private conversation, right? And she's like going into all this stuff about how, what she wants and, you know, we're led to believe that she's into him. But then we get this voiceover or confessional, which I don't believe was from the same night, because it's like, seems like she's just playing him, because she says, I'm still hooked on Brandon, but I'm the 11th girl and I want to lock in my spot and I'm competing hard or whatever she says. And then she's making out with him while she's saying this.
I agree. That was probably taken way, way out of the moment, because it seemed like she was into him at that time. And it seemed like it's now being portrayed that Christina has not fully moved on, but has come close to moving on, and Brandon's the one who's just stuck. And I think that's probably close to what's happening, because that's basically what everyone else in the house is saying.
Yeah, well, this is when Brandon, like, takes his clothes off and runs into the water.
JJ part two.
Oh, my God. That was just so uncomfortable. But my question about Christina and Nate is, like, is this real or is it fake? Because did you watch the deleted scene this week?
Yeah. What did you take from that?
I just like kind of, I mean, from what they're saying, great, they're both into each other, but it kind of feels like they're both forcing the issue.
I mean, I think that just goes back to your point in the beginning. Like, these two, obviously, it wasn't their first pick. It probably really wasn't their second pick. And now they're like, I don't want to have my perfect match be someone I don't care about at all. So let me see if I really can care about this person. And I think that's kind of what they're doing. I think maybe they like each other and they're hoping that feelings can develop later on. But I don't think there's any, probably not real feelings right now.
Well, I just kept thinking of the Cher song, like, do you believe in life after love? Because literally, like, Nathan, like, I just couldn't get over Nathan saying that even before Shelby left the house, he was interested in Christina. Like, go back to the tape, because I'm pretty sure you're crying saying that now there's only friendships left for you in the house and nobody else is there for you. So
I think Nate kind of forgot that moment in his life happens.
That's fair.
I'm sure that happened too, but he was the one who did it, so you think he would be the one to remember.
I guess overall, do you think that somebody who's like one of the earlier love couples, like a Curtis and Brianna, Shanley and Chris T, Nathan, just Nathan, because Shelby wasn't on the same page, Christina and Brandon, can they rebound from if they find out that they're not a match early enough on?
I think so, because I think John and Jenny seem to have a pretty genuine connection. And obviously, I don't know if John really bounced back from anyone, but Jenny, I mean, she bounced back kind of from two people.
Well, I wouldn't even put Jenny in that category because she was still between two people. Like, I think Jenny kept herself more open. I think, like, I don't think you can compare Jenny and Anthony to Curtis and Brianna in terms of their commitment and feelings towards each other.
I guess that's fair. So, who else? I don't think Brandon and Christine are really going to find anyone.
Maybe that's why it's so uncomfortable for me to, like, wrap my head around Christina and Nathan, because she's like making it like it's possible, and I just like can't buy that it's possible.
No, I mean, if something would happen, I think it would clearly happen like after this show is over. And maybe,
well, what do you mean by something happening? Like something like did happen. Like they're out. They're
more so like if they actually did develop feelings for each other and actually tried to make something like this work. Like I don't think all of a sudden, like by the finale, Nate and Christine are going to be saying like "I love you" to each other. But maybe like in 4 months, maybe they would, but not now.
I think if Christina and Nathan were not in this situation in this house, Nathan and Christina never get together.
No, I mean, I think that's probably true for a lot of the people.
But like, that's why I don't think like that's going to develop more outside of the house. But time will tell.
I mean, I don't think, don't get me wrong, I don't think they are going to develop outside the house. I'm just saying if they would get together, it would be outside the house.
I have nothing else on them. Do you have anything else on them? I'm anxious to move on to Alex and Jasmine.
Let's get to them.
I want to give them like a couple name, like Almond, Jazix.
They're into the almonds.
I loved watching them on screen, and don't get me wrong, because like most of it was them like really hardcore making out. But so they're dancing again. They make out. We get this whole like, oh, opposites attract kind of setup story here. And maybe I like them the most because they make sense to me because we've seen them interact before.
I just can't shake like the first time we saw them and it was like the most awkward conversation ever. I just can't shake that from them being a perfect match.
But I feel like, did I say it was awkward? I feel like, did we have this conversation where you said it was awkward and I said it wasn't awkward, it was just like, you feel this way, I feel this way, and we're cool? Like, I almost felt like they could both communicate very well about what they wanted. It was just different from what the other wanted.
But then wouldn't that in and of itself make them not perfect matches if they want two completely different things?
Well, it depends what you think GemTV is looking for.
Now you're playing their game.
Maybe they bounce out. Like, if they want completely different things, but their personalities are the same, they have fun together. Like, maybe Jasmine self-reports that she takes herself really seriously, but her family says she needs someone more fun-loving and laid back. I just, like, totally fan-fictioned that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I could see it. I'm not sold on it. I just liked them spending time together.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like them spending time together a lot more now than the first time. I just, like, for me, I just can't shake that first meeting.
That's fair. I mean, we did see that for a reason, potentially. Although every time I try to rationalize why we saw certain things, like,
we haven't seen anything for a reason. There's nothing to see for a reason because everything keeps getting blown up every week.
I loved how like they're like Jasmine and Alex have like a teleporter because they go from like a party to all of a sudden cut. They're back in the truck and they have this little like, I hate you. And then Alex says, I don't think we're a match, but we could be. Which to me was hilarious, like, which is basically like saying, I don't know anything. And then somehow they're rolling in the water with their clothes off, making out on the beach.
Kenny and Johanna.
Yeah, exactly. But they didn't teleport like that. I think they got powers.
There's Alex and Jasmine. They're like Aladdin.
less pleasant to watch Taylor and Garland making out. Tyler. I wrote Taylor. Whoops. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, they're both wrong. Her name is Gweese anyway. But, but I kind of think Tyler makes a lot of sense in a lot of what she says, actually. I think she has a good mind for this game. I just think, I don't know, maybe her personality just isn't for me, but like her mind for this game. Like, she was on the side later on with Brie about throwing in John and Jenny. Like, she knows. And even to give her credit, she knows to sit out because no one's trying, if she did choose to sit out, then to make this easier for the game. Like, I think she has a sense of what needs to be done to win.
I think that the two examples you cite, one, literally almost everyone should have known that John and Jenny should go in. And I think Jasmine was really like the main ringleader against that. And then you earlier said that Tyler just didn't get picked. I know.
I'm trying to give her credit. I'm trying.
I think it's like recency bias, because early on Tyler was the one who's like, I don't care. Christina's just not going in the truth booth.
See, her not going in the truth booth doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you kind of twist her words a little bit, her not being picked for the matchup ceremony does make a lot of sense. Maybe that's what she meant.
If she said something completely different than what she said, then yeah, she would have a good mind for this game.
I want to believe in Queez.
Okay, I lost all my belief when Tyler does this, like, I'm trying to be sexy, but it's weird, like, licks Garland's nose.
Yeah, their hookup was not nice. But Garland did get to...
not nice.
He got to number 101, so shout out to him.
Yeah, we can go to that. So Garland very romantically extends an invitation to Tyler to the Boom Boom Room.
Yo, Tyler, Boom Boom Room, 2 minutes, let's go.
He's just like, oh, are you down? Okay, I'm down. Like, she got called off the bench. She's been waiting this whole 7 episodes to get called up.
Coach, I'm ready to play.
Yeah. We sound like Dario, but it's fine.
That's all right. Alex is making sports analogies during the episode, so we can keep making them.
So let's get into Garland and Tyler, because they're the big twist. They're the Twitter beef of the week.
Oh, really? I didn't see their Twitter beef.
Oh, well, I'm here to help you out then. So let's first want to set the scene on this, because I'm just like, I'm nauseous about the whole thing.
So yeah, so Garland calls Tyler into the Boom Boom Room. They are there for what may or may not be a long amount of time, depending on who you ask, because Garland did not want to, quote, put in the work. And then he bolts out of there like she just told him the worst news ever. And then Tyler walks around in a blanket wondering what's going on.
Well, I don't think there's any discrepancy about how much time they were in there. I just think it's a matter of why there was so little time spent. Garland says, quote, that he wanted to get his issue off and get out. So I do think that he cops to it being like 10 seconds, but he claims that it's not his norm. It's just because he doesn't give a shit about Tyler. So let's take it to Twitter. So
yes, Twitter,
Garland lost it on Twitter. So these are just some highlights. First of all, this brought me to his Twitter bio, because to be honest, I haven't been on Garland's Twitter ever. Since the preseason. His Twitter bio opens with, check out my show, Are You the One? Blah, 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 blah. Nothing about Are You the One is Garland's show.
It is more our show than his show.
So then he tweets, ladies, don't let this show fool you. Ask Tyler how many times we have had sex. Okay. So he leads with, stop being mean to me. I've had sex with her multiple times.
He actually said, stop being mean to me?
No. I'm just paraphrasing. Then he says, sorry for
that. That could have been the greatest tweet ever.
Then he says, I'm getting a lot of heat for leaving Tyler in the room. It's crazy what they don't show on television. So he's like he's basically getting a lot of hate on Twitter for what happened. And we'll get into who was on the right and who was in the wrong. But he's addressing it by saying, I hooked up with her multiple times, so don't judge me based on that one time where I treated her like garbage. And then, so he says, it's crazy what they don't show on television. Then Stacy Face, who's just, you know, a muggle, a normal person like us, says, what'd they leave out? Tell us, please. And he responds, at Stacy Face, she's not my match. They didn't leave that out.
Yeah, that was clearly put in the episode.
that was clear. I don't know what show Garland's watching. I mean, he's watching his show, Are You the One? So maybe they didn't show it on his show.
That's true. He's got his own version where he's a star.
And then he says, I'll take all the hate for last night's episode. Bring it on, LOL. Y'all just making my show relevant and putting money in my pockets. Thank you. And then he does the preach hands emoji, which is my favorite emoji that I never use, right? Where it's like both hands are up being like, preach. I'll tweet that.
The best thing is you definitely like enacted that moment. Yeah. To manage as a video.
But no, so he then goes from being like, guys, don't judge me, to keep the hate because you're putting money in my pocket. I don't know if he gets money per tweet, but okay. And then he says, let me get one thing straight. I was not trying to make a porno with Tyler. I just wanted to get a quickie off, period.
No, I don't think anyone was ever questioning that you wanted to make a porno with her. When was that like an accusation?
I think he's now going back to trying to defend himself. First, his defense was like, we've had sex multiple times. Now his defense is, I didn't want to have sex on TV. That's what I think he's saying.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to hire Christina Gutierrez as his lawyer.
Okay. That's another serial reference for all those not paying attention. But no, I think what he's saying is he didn't want to be on camera for the hours that it clearly would have lasted for making a quote unquote porno with Tyler.
But like, he knows like this show is on MTV, not like Cinemax, right? Like they're obviously not going to show them having sex fully on MTV.
Maybe his show, his Are You the One, shows something else. But then he goes, now he completely backtracks. Meanwhile, no one else on the show that I've seen has really interacted with these tweets, except Brandon like tweeted like, yeah, or something to the money in the pocket thing.
So it keeps in line with what we're doing with the show. No one's interacting.
So he goes, I don't even know why I respond to the hate, LOL. It was funny, LOL. But now I'm going to chill and let the haters hate. Then he tweets, kill them with silence.
So over under 7.5 people that tweeted him with the hate.
I don't know, because I was like, I thought for a split second about searching his handle for tweets, and then I was like, nope, no thank you. But Tyler tweeted twice about this that I pulled, and she wrote, hey guys, don't drink, # are you the one, # 1 minute man, # not worth Holy it, shit. # what was I thinking, # drunk, # oh ew.
That's a lot of hashtags.
But welp. Please save your criticism till the end of the tweet, because there's going to be so much more. Yeah, she did several hashtags to basically be like, that was horrible. And then she writes, seriously, don't think I should have lowered my standards. Should have known better. # are you the one. # never again. # stupid move. # I deserve better. I just think that the thing with that's a disadvantage is you're seeing the episode now when like Tyler's like, if he's a really good kisser, I'm going to want to keep kissing him. Like Tyler was clearly into Garland, and then Garland makes her look like a jerk. So she takes to Twitter to defend herself, but she does a way better job of it than Garland.
Despite the 12 hashtags.
And then to get into whose side are you on here? Andrew Kirk asks, hate to bring back one of the segments of the aftermatch, but is Garland the clear favorite for D-bag move of the week for how he left Tyler like that?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, he's clearly a D-bag, but I don't feel like... I thought about potentially doing an impression of her, but I'm trying to block out any remembrance of her, so...
What, you mean Nicole or Tyler?
Yeah, no, Nicole.
Oh, okay.
I'll always remember Tyler for introducing Grease into my world. So.
I think that it's tough because Garland thinks that he's looking cool by being like, oh, I only lasted a second because that's what I wanted. I was all about me. It wasn't about her. Look, whatever. But he only makes himself look bad. Like, I don't think Tyler comes off looking bad here. I think Tyler got played. Tyler got, left. I said for dead. No, but she just got left alone. And Garland then starts talking this big macho man game that just makes him look like a complete jerk. So yes, I will give him D-bag move of the week, and I will bring back an aftermatch. Don't apologize for bringing back segments of the aftermatch that are relevant. Andrew Kirk was just more relevant in this one question than Nicole Byers was in the entire season of the aftermatch.
Prepare yourselves, guys. We're ending this podcast with dirty deets.
Gross. So yeah, that's the Twitter feud of the week.
We need to get that sponsored.
It's sponsored by me. I put in countless hours pouring over a hot Twitter feed looking for these things.
I wouldn't tell you.
No, but keep it coming. I mean, there's something every week. This week I didn't think I was gonna find anything until I started seeing Garland's like crybaby stuff. But yeah, so I've had enough of Garland and Tyler. What do you think?
Oh please. I moved on.
All right. So now we see Jenny and John on the beach.
This was my favorite conversation of the episode.
Take it away.
They because it was just, you could just so clearly tell how unbelievably plastered they were. I bet you if you asked them, they don't remember a single second of this conversation until they saw it on TV. The way Jenny was talking, you could just tell she is so beyond. She's like, you know what I love about you? That you're confident. That's what I love. And John just shrugging. He's like, yeah, we're in a great space. I love that conversation.
Yeah, this one I really start to like Jenny and John together, and I like them more on the date, but this is like exactly what we were talking about last week with Jenny, where it's like Leighton never was just like, hey, I like you, and like that's a wrap on that. Like she didn't want these games, and she thinks that John didn't play these games, and so now she takes that to be confidence. And this is when I first got my theory on John just getting really lucky that he was too and warranted. I mean, it is intimidating to go toe-to-toe between Leighton and Anthony. Like, I don't blame him at all. But Jenny, like, throws her arms around him and, John, like, as if to, like, get really close to his face. Like, a kiss was going to happen. And John just awkwardly is like, oh, what are you doing? Like, that was the best. That was just like, I'm awkward. Ugh. I love that. And that's when I was like, he just, it worked out that like the way that he slow plays it because he's kind of intimidated is perfect for the way that Jenny thinks that quiet is confidence.
Yeah. He's slow played. Well done by John. Maybe he's the poker player.
And I do like that they were walking back up and he's like, oh, you need to sit down, you need a seat. And then he just like scoops her up. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, I was in on John and Jenny this episode.
So then we could talk briefly about their date, I guess, because we're doing couple by couple. So they have the Cialis commercial date with the two separate bathtubs, you know, overlooking the view. And I think John has like a little bit of a nice, cute, quirky play here where he's like, oh, I can't hear you. Is there room in your tub?
I enjoyed it. I literally only have one note for the date. I just wrote cute. But I mean, that's what it was. It was like nice little sweet moment for them.
It was cute. It was like the whole date was basically like, I like you. I hope you're my match. You have to be a match. I hope you're my match. But, and then she goes in for the kiss. Like, I think Jenny's a good match for him because she's assertive enough, but right. Like he still can be the man.
Right.
So yeah, good for them. Okay.
Good for them.
Now we have.
Who else do we have?
Leighton and Ashley.
Oh, they're. Leighton was. Well, I still don't understand why Leighton was all of a sudden into Ashley. That seemed like it came out of nowhere.
Because A, who else does he have?
Fair.
And B, Leighton, no one else is interested in him.
Also fair.
And Leighton, like at least Nate is interested in Christina because Christina showed interest in him. So like, okay, I could rock with that. But Leighton has nowhere else to go and he's looking at his options and he doesn't like Ellie because she's not competitive and he sees that Ashley is competitive. So why not?
I think they were ruled out. Weren't they ruled out last week?
Yeah, but he, again, wait, Leighton and Ellie were ruled out? No, Anthony and Ellie were ruled out.
Yeah.
But still, he rules them out because he has control over his matches, according to him. And in the same breath that he thinks that Ellie is not competitive enough, he notices that Ashley's competitive. And what I don't like about their interaction here, besides everything, is that it's a red flag that Leighton is shit-talking Jess and calling Jess crazy to Ashley.
Yeah, considering they were just hooking up like 3 hours ago.
He acts like things are just happening to him. Like, he is an active participant in this. He's making choices. He's saying things to her. And yes, they, like, do you shots of, like, Jess in the water like a crazy person, but Leighton's provoking it. Leighton hasn't sat down with her and said this is over. Leighton makes out with her. So I just don't understand. Like, I just don't appreciate it. I don't respect it that Leighton's, like, behind her back. Oh, she's crazy. It's not me. She's crazy. Another just bad move on Leighton's part.
Major last note complete. Leighton sucks.
Leighton sucks. So we have a question from Miguel Strickland. Who do you guys think is Ashley's perfect match, Dario or Leighton?
Dario.
100%.
Why?
Why? Because
I want that to be my greatest moment ever. No, but I mean, just from them interacting, like it just seems like Ashley's a lot more comfortable, a lot more herself, and just seems like they have fun together, whereas Leighton is like basically telling her what she is to him rather than what she just is.
Right. I mean, I think I could see Ashley and Leighton just like as a match. Like I could see why they match them together. I don't actually see them working as a match. So it wouldn't shock me, but I would prefer Leighton and Dario and Ashley to be a match. So Dario and Ashley though, they have a little cute pool scene.
Yeah, they're just kind of joking around, being, you know, my ex, Dario was saying my ex-girlfriend, we would always fight all the time, and Ashley was saying my ex-boyfriend was pissed at me whenever I changed my Facebook picture, so it just shows, like, maybe these two are kind of compatible, and it's, like, every time we see them, they're always smiling and joking around. Obviously, that's what they're choosing the show, but it just seems like they're genuinely happy together.
I think they're really, really cute together. I think Ashley's all in. I think Dario is holding back. Like, I think he's still pretty hesitant. And I don't know if that's because she's a virgin or because she's, like, such a good girl. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's, like, actually the fact that she's a virgin or because she's, like, not the type of girl. Like, when Ashley's talking about her ex's Facebook issues, he's like, oh, and you're so not even close to that type of girl. So I don't know if he's like kind of holding her delicately here because of her virgin status or because she's just like so nice and like a good girl.
I mean, he could just be intimidated by the moment of potentially dating someone who's a virgin. So maybe, and that goes to further show that maybe he is actually just a good guy. So, I mean, that could be it.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see more on them. I like them a lot. But what do you make this Garland and Jess combo we get?
I guess I could see them potentially being together. They seem like they do have a lot of things in common that they both didn't really have a father figure, that they both wish they had different viewpoints on sex. But I mean, like, this is all we've ever, I think this is the first conversation they've ever had. And they're like, oh, we can be best friends. So, I mean, it's tough to fully gauge them, but it seems like they could be together.
Well, it just bothers me that Garland's like the one thing I wish I could change about myself is my attitude towards sex. Like, you can always change your attitude. That's not something that's difficult to change.
Right.
Like, that's like the most, I mean, that's like the easiest thing to change is your attitude about something. But anyway, I have frustrations with Garland. I want to know, so Jess leaves this conversation being like, oh my God, we have so much in common. We get along so well. We could be best friends. Do you think that she friend zones him because of Garland or because of how she feels about Leighton?
I think because of Leighton. I think she's kind of like Bree, that she's not really looking for anyone romantically, that she still just hung up on Leighton.
That's a shame. But fair.
I mean, I could be wrong, but
No. It's a shame for her. Like, I totally agree. Alex Pandemaran asked, was it just me or was it weird to see more screen time for people we've barely seen so far, like Garland, both Alex's and Tyler?
It was a little jarring, but I mean, it was nice. It was nice to actually have them be a part of, you know, it's nice to Garland be a part of his show. That was nice to see.
Yeah, but I don't have anything else that then wouldn't take us to deliberation.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, just the lead up to deliberation. But yeah,
that's like what, here's where a little strategy comes into play. What do you think about this?
Now, so basically their quote unquote strategy is, let's throw in the two Alexes because we know Christina is not with John and we know Christina is not with Brandon. So if Alex is also Christina's match, then Christina goes home and we have a much cleaner look at this game, which in theory makes sense. But you're taking not only taking one gamble of Alex and Alex having to be matched, but then you're taking another gamble of Alex and Christina being the match. So these people are so bad at this game. What makes them think that they can not only guess one perfect match, but two?
Yeah, to me, this made absolutely no sense. It was completely baseless. And the way that Jasmine spoke so confidently about it really pissed me off.
Yeah,
because it made zero sense.
She was like, oh, I'm voting Alex and Alex. Like, how is that even a question? Like, that's basically what her mindset was. But, like, it makes no sense because you need Alex and Alex to be a match to even get to the possibility of Alex and Christina being a match. So it's not like you could just throw Alex and Alex in and let's say they're not a match and just magically pop up saying, oh, but Christina is that person's match. Like, you need to be right twice and these people are barely ever right once.
So we have some questions related to this. So Alex Moran asks, is the ideal strategy to focus on the 11th girl and eliminate one girl and many possible matches? And added to that, I want to add, moving forward, if this show gets season three and they do a similar format, do you think the strategy will be to focus on the 11th person?
I don't really, like, I understand that you, like, the ideal situation is you figure out the double match, but I feel like if you only focus on that, you're not going to be able to figure out the other matches. You need to throw other people into the truth booth. So basically, you kind of just have to do it like, if the 11th person thinks they have a match, then you absolutely throw them in. But until they think they have a match, don't throw them in. So for me, I think the top choice would be to throw in Nate and Christina next week because she thinks that this person's going to be your match. So yes, find it out. But you're not just sort of throwing in random people hoping that, oh, then this person's going to be with the 11th person. Because you're not going to be able to figure out the rest of it.
Oh, definitely agree. That was super frustrating. So then we get the clip of the honeymoon suite, completely out of context and out of place and out of my interest. But Curtis... we get like the same conversation between Shelby and Curtis every single time where Shelby's just like, oh, where's your head at? And Curtis is like, what kind of guy would I be if I came here and bailed out on those feelings so quickly? And then she's like, yeah, I totally understand. I really respect that. And he goes, but I'm going to be present. And I talk about this every single week, so I don't really need to get into it again. But just the way that he phrases it with what kind of guy would I be is not Chris T saying, I'm in love with Shanley, so I'm going to be loyal to her. It's how would TV think of me? Like, how would I look if I did what I wanted to do, which is hook up with you right now?
Do you think that's what he really means, though?
Yes, completely.
Okay.
Especially with the way that Shelby has reacted, implying that he led her on, that I just think, why is he saying, what kind of guy would I be if I bailed on those feelings? Not... my feelings are too strong to bail on.
That's fair. I mean, I could see where you're coming at, but I think he's trying to phrase it just delicately enough that to not make things even more awkward between them.
Why? I think he's making it more awkward. I think Shelby's been perfectly like, I respect that. That's fine. Like, she's excited that Jenny's going to come to and like be with her and hang out. Like, I don't think she's putting any pressure on him unnecessarily. And he keeps doing this, but I'm going to be present. She didn't ask him to say that. She said, oh, I totally support that. And then he interjected that.
I mean, I think just like, I'm going to be present is like, I'm not just going to ignore you. Like, we can still have fun together, but nothing's going to happen.
I think he could say that, but that's not what he's saying. I just think, what kind of guy would I be if I bailed on those feelings, but I'm going to be present?
Maybe I'm the optimist today. I'm giving everyone the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I don't think it's not the benefit of the doubt. I think he's tempted by Shelby. And I think away from Brianna, he's maybe realizing that that was like a 3-week thing that was really strong. And in a different time, maybe it would have worked. But he's now on a lavish vacation with this super hot girl who clearly they get along. And he's conflicted. So he's trying to play both sides. And that's maybe I'm totally reading into this. But that like line was just like so slimy to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. I can see it.
Or he was, because like, I just think you could be really clear and say, look, you know, I'm in love with Brianna. I think we're great friends. Like, let's enjoy vacation. That's never what he says.
Yeah, I'm hoping at the reunion this is brought up, which I would like to see. Maybe he did say that and they're just only showing snippets that make it seem like he's not. So hopefully he can offer.
I mean, unless you know that to be true, like from what.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
No, but just like from what I hear is that it's like the opposite. So let's get to the bottom of it. I can't wait. But yeah, to get there, we have to get through deliberation.
Yeah, so eventually, I think everyone finally sides with Bree. I felt really weird agreeing with Leighton, who was also on the side, but then I felt more comforting the fact that Bree was on this side, so kind of balanced it out. That, like, basically saying, shut up, idiots, we're voting in John and Jenny. And it seemed, I don't know, they didn't really show who fully voted for who, but the House did vote for John and Jenny.
Yeah, and I just thought John at deliberation, I feel like, had a little too much to prove, where he's like, no offense to Christina and Jasmine, but this date was way, way, way better. Like, no offense to Jasmine and Christina, but I'm going to offend you.
I mean, I think it just should, like, mean that these two probably were supposed to be together, that, you know, you go on a couple dates with people that you like, it's nice, but then you go on a date with someone that you really like, and it's a lot better.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally, that's fair, and I'm glad that they had a really good time, but I just was expecting him to be like, no offense to Christina and Jasmine, but I just really feel like Jenny's my match. Like, he was like, no offense, but this was so much better than being with you.
John does love blowing stuff up at deliberations.
Ugh. So, without further delay, they head to the truth booth.
Yep. Perfect match. Ding, ding, ding.
And Jenny does this cute little, I got the lawyer.
But he's just in law school. He hasn't graduated.
Yeah, no, I thought that was funny. I like them together so much more than I like Jenny when she was with Anthony or Layton.
Definitely with Layton. I kind of started to like her with Anthony more than the end of it, but that's mood at this point.
Ironically enough, Anthony is the one who does a toast to John and Jenny.
Yeah, Anthony took it like a champ. Like, in every type of anytime he was ever asked, he's like, oh, they're great together, blah, blah, blah. Like, he was perfectly fine with it. And I don't think in a way, like, that he didn't care about Jenny at all, but just in a way, like, he understands they were only together, like, 2 weeks. So, like, relax yourself before you think you're getting, like, a divorce here.
I mean, he's the guy who was like, I could see us, like, together after this. Oh, my God, I can't believe I said that. Like, I still think that it's, you know, he's not heartbroken about it. I think he liked her. I think he liked spending time with her. I think he knew this wasn't going anywhere after the show. And so now that it's not a perfect match, great, I can party again.
Yeah.
But you see more good in Anthony than I do.
So. I do. I think he was hoping they would be a perfect match because maybe they could be together. I don't think he ever saw them getting married and starting a family together, but I think he thought they could be seeing each other for a little while. So maybe that's why he was able to get over it, but I don't think Anthony's doing
distance during his senior year of college. No, I just don't see it.
Maybe Jenny will go live with him.
So
flying their lives together.
This is where Brianna, I mean, I was going to say wins me over, but she had already won me over. Brianna is the one who then says, okay, who did you, when were you matched, Jenny, before you leave? Which week were you guys a match? And then everyone, who did you guys sit with at the fifth matchup? Because then that's not your match. So she rules out Brandon and Jasmine and Jess and Nate.
Right. Actually, I'm saving all my notes for this because one of these days I'm going to present it to my grandkids as the snap book for what I've been doing with my life. So I have the fifth matchup ceremonies. We can go through them quickly just to rule them out. So Anthony and Ashley were together, so they're not a match. Brandon and Jasmine, not together. Garland and Tyler. Layton and Brianna. Alex and Christina were together. So interestingly enough, the couple that they wanted to throw in to see if they were a double match got ruled out because of them being not idiots and throwing in John and Jenny. Nate and Jess, not a match. And then Dario and Alexandria.
To me is just funny because, like, also the other couple they didn't think about putting in, but to me would have been the other strong couple to put in, also got ruled out. So if they, I mean, I know they don't have paper, so they didn't go back and think about this, but voting in Jenny and John and Brandon and Jasmine, in theory, like, one could have canceled the other out or made the other one stronger. I mean, if they clearly made the right choice because if they threw in Brandon and Jasmine, it would have been no match. And then it would have just, like, shed a little bit more light on the possibility that Jenny and John were a match. But this way, they knocked out both truth booths.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so now Brandon, because of that, is down to two possibilities of Tyler and Brianna. And it becomes this whole, like, all of them hate each other. He's picking between the lesser of two evils. I mean, I just feel bad because I think Bree deserves so much more than this.
I mean, I guess we kind of saw this episode, but did we see Brandon and Brianna not like each other before this that much?
Well, actually, someone brought up a really interesting callback from the first episode. So Karina Marie Fatijo, sorry, I'm butchering all of this, says, who do you think is Brandon's match, Brianna or Tyler? I think it's Brianna. They kind of hinted on the first episode by showing the scene out of nowhere of her calling him out after he called her like a dog saying hi. And she was like, we are women. You're supposed to say hello. We have names.
Yeah, I remember that scene.
I don't know that I necessarily think that's like a huge callback. I just thought it was like a funny reference. I kind of think Tyler is his match. What do you think?
I was leaning towards Brie, not because of that scene, just because mainly of what Tyler said. Like, you know, I think she is like the type of independent, strong-willed person. And not that I don't think Brie is like that, but I could see Brandon being more with Brie than Tyler.
I'm starting to think
it's really close.
I'm starting to think that Brandon completely like misrepresented himself unintentionally. I just think that he's not self-aware and that the pressures of the show or like the situation has like brought out more of the real like emotional him, and that potentially during casting his friends, family, and exes said different things about him than he's showing to the people who would maybe be interested in him. I've been looking at, someone was very courteous, we'll get to their question, and said that I don't like the numbers, and I totally didn't. But now that we've gotten kind of down to like the nitty gritty, I've been following the Are You the One Math blog. And it doesn't like give anything away. It gives percentages, but John and Jenny were like 12%, and they were a match. So it's not necessarily the be all end all, but it is like a quick, easy reference for who is still available. And Brianna has 4 options left and Tyler has 2, but that doesn't necessarily... Like, you can look at it like this, like, you can play around with it. Like, if Tyler and Brandon are not a match, then Tyler and Layton are a match.
Yeah, we're getting closer to the point where it's basically a puzzle, and if you start manipulating it, you probably could figure it out.
But someone did write that they worked on it for an hour and a half and got that if they figure out Brandon's match, they figure out everything. But from what this Are You the One Math says, that's not true, that Brandon could be with Tyler or Brianna and it works out in different possible combinations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's just food for thought. Okay. So let's see. So yeah, so this, I guess, so takes up to the matchup, right?
Passive ceremony, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're getting close. Only like 7. Now only 7 people are picking. So it's like getting kind of close. So it starts with Dario picking Ashley, Alex picking Jasmine, Layton picking Ellie, Brandon picking Tyler, Anthony picking Bree, Nate picking Christina, and then Garland picking Jess over Alexandria.
So, let's see. I mean, the only thing I thought during the Dario and Ashley match is, can someone turn Paris's mic off? Because she's like, I could see that.
Yeah. Paris, but you have no idea.
When Jenny and John are revealed a match, no one makes a more shocked face than Paris. So just turn her mic off. Like, why does she even have a mic? Yeah, Alex and Jasmine cite their crazy sexual attraction, which, fair, we saw it in spades this episode. Mm-hmm.
My question was, Layton had a confessional about Ashley that says, like, you know, Ashley's like basically scared to be with me, so she's just taking like the comfortable route of being with Dario. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Layton's insane. I think Layton gets hit on a lot back at home, and I think that Layton is used to getting whoever he wants, and now that he's competing with like actual guys that treat women with respect and he's not being fawned all over, he's short-circuiting. Like, he literally is a robot short-circuiting.
Yeah. I honestly believe that, because I don't know what I've literally no idea what is he talking about. What, Ashley's scared of what?
Ashley's not even paying attention to Layton. Like, yeah. Ashley's like, you know, stop pursuing Jess, stop making out with Jess, and then I'll think about it. But she's not into him. She's like uncomfortable even being around him.
100%.
I love how Ellie's like, Layton would try to be my father, which is 100% true. Ellie, as usual, right with everything. Okay. Well, this is like a mess because it's like Brandon has his issues when he's picking, and then he also has issues when Christina's being picked.
I love Curtis once again getting involved. That's why you give them mics, because sometimes they'll shout out stuff.
But, like, I'm also over Curtis being involved. Like, Curtis, you have your own mess. Like, just be in your own mess. Like, I just... So, basically, Ryan gets involved and is saying that Christina's already moved on. And that was hilarious to me.
Right.
And then Tyler is yelling out, neither of us want to be his perfect match, which was also hysterical. Mm-hmm. And says that she'd rather be... without a match, standing out tonight, then be with him.
Tyler just loves sitting out of stuff.
I mean, I don't blame her. I don't want to be sitting next to Brandon either. But then Brandon launches into this, I'm always going to be the same way. I'm always going to be the same. He's way too young to be like, this is who I am. I'm never changing.
And I don't even think that's what they're like complaining about. They're basically just saying, like, just stop being hung up on Christina, which I understand maybe that is who he is. But, like, get to know other people. Like, that's basically what they're saying. They're not saying change who you are. They're saying who else would like you for you. But apparently the answer is no one.
Well, we're also just seeing these outbursts from him. Like, I don't even think he's, like, really sabotaging her that much. Like, he gets upset in the ocean, but it's all internal because that we see. Because she still gets...
He might have had a couple fish in there.
Well, she gets her time with Nathan. It's just he makes these grandstand, like, speeches. Like, before he picks, he, like, starts saying, like, he's never gonna get off Christina. And it's like he makes it seem like he's gonna pick Christina, which he basically is. I mean, we talked about this on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if he would just shut up, and that is kind of him changing, but if he would just shut up about it, nobody would care because he's actually not interfering that we can see.
I thought it would have been great if he just picked Christina. Now, maybe that is a rule that maybe you're not allowed to pick someone who you can confirm not perfect match. But if he just said, like, my perfect match is Christina, like, what would everyone have done? Would she have gone up and, like, locked in, or would everyone just started, like, throwing stuff at him?
Well, I think he basically did get up there and say, my perfect match is Christina.
But I wanted to go a step further and make her come up and, like, have Ryan question her. And then, like, maybe that's a rule. Maybe you're not allowed to pick someone as you're confirmed not perfect match. I don't know.
Well, that would be, we should ask Brianna that, but that would be, like, a really interesting strategic element where it's, like, everyone who's not a match picks except for two couples or something like that. And then right. If you know, like, you could play the matchup ceremony that way. Yeah. So, yeah, that would be interesting. I'm sure it's a rule. But so when you said, would Christina just lock in? I can't read Christina on this. Like, when Brandon's doing this, she kind of, like, covers her mouth. She's kind of smirking. Like, does she love this, or is she cringing?
I think for most of the season, she's been liking it. And I think the scales are starting to tip. I think it's starting to get to the point of this is getting a little uncomfortable. Like, if you want to, we can talk about this in private, but stop making these big grand gestures in front of the entire house. Like, starting to get a little enough. I think that's where she's leaning towards.
I'm not sure, because she starts all of these confessionals with, like, I'm still really into Brandon. And she says it in her conversation with Nate in the deleted scene. Like, I still have feelings for him, but I'm in the game. I don't know if she's loving it because it's like attention and she doesn't have to reciprocate and he's still not getting with anyone else. Like, you saw, like, not that long ago when he was starting to stray with Jasmine, she flipped out. And I think that she's liking this. I'm going to pursue Nate. You're going to pursue no one.
I guess that's possible.
Which I can't blame her. Yeah. I mean, I'd love that.
Right. I think she could still be, like, into him, but still not enjoying, like, these type of outbursts.
That's fair.
I think that's kind of where she is.
I have another question about one of the contestants' mindsets that maybe you can help me out with. So Paris tweeted, somebody tweeted at her and asked, like, what she thinks of this Brandon shenanigans. And she wrote, actually, at Pratt, MTV, and I are totes team Brandon. Explain that to me, because wasn't she the one who's like, play the game, our money's in your hand, you're screwing it all up?
Yeah, that's bizarre. I don't understand that at all.
Help
us. Weren't Paris and Pratt getting into it with Brandon at one point for not moving on? I vaguely remember that happening.
I don't know, maybe Paris just takes, like, the most contrary viewpoint of the house. Like, if everybody's starting to unite against Brandon, then she's going to be team Brandon. I don't know.
Maybe she's a Skip Bayless of the house.
So then the next drama scene with Brandon is Nathan picks Christina and Brandon heckles, you're an idiot. She doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. And then he makes this declaration for the 1,000th time that he's going to let Christina go from this point on.
But you gloss over the biggest point that Nate was mocking him, saying, are you crying yet?
Are you crying yet?
This is what I'm saying. I think Nate forgot, like, has blocked that moment out of his head that he was a blabbering mess not too long ago, might I add, asking to leave the house because he couldn't take this anymore. And now he's mocking someone else, asking if they're crying. So
Nate's living on Nate time. Like, he can fall in love in one day and he can fall out of it and forget anything ever happened in a week. Like, he's on Nate time.
Maybe he's watching Garland's version of Mario the
One. maybe they're, like, co-producing a spin-off. But I don't understand why Ryan isn't making Christina answer for this. Like, Ryan's defending Christina against Brandon. Nate's defending Christina against Brandon. Brandon's defending Christina against everyone. Why isn't, like, Ryan giving Christina the Jenny treatment and being like, how are things?
Well, because I think if she was asked that, she would be able to answer it. But I think also, I think the perception of the house, and this is why I think Christina is trying to move on, is that she is trying to move on. And maybe they're sneaking off in private together doing stuff, but from based on what everyone is saying, it's that Brandon is still hung up on Christina. And if everyone is saying that, I have to just start to believe that.
That's fair. And she even says in the deleted scene, like, he was trying really hard last night, but I knew, like, a kiss would mean more to him than right. to me. But I just think Christina does such a good job of telling the right story. Like, I don't even think it's different stories. It's just, like, the right version to each guy that she's, like, dealing with. That if she was called out in front of the whole house, I would like to see what she would say. Mm-hmm. But we have, like, a three-part question from three different people that I think are all on the same theme. Stefania Liu asks, is the best move to send Brandon into the truth booth next week? That way they'll know for sure who his match is and he can get out of the house and away from Christina.
I was thinking about this, and I think if you're just thinking about for the game purposes, I think it would be better to wait to throw, because you'll always have that as a possibility to throw in to get rid of the 50-50 match, even do it on the 10th week, and then you can still play the game with other people. But to get, I think getting him out of the house is probably the more important part of it. So that's why I would throw him in next week. But if Brandon was like more low-key and more looking not hung up on someone, I would probably try to wait on it. But because he's making it so difficult for someone else in the house, and more specifically the 11th girl in the house, who's basically the most important part of this game, I would try to throw him in next week.
See, I don't know, because I think that it's not that important for Christina to find her match. It's more important for the other people to find their match before Christina, potentially, or it's just as important. So if Brandon's only blocking Christina, which I don't even think he really is, then I just think it's more of an advantage to have a guaranteed 50-50 and try to place the other girl, and then you'll know him by default.
Right. But I don't. Also, the issue is, the two girls that he's being placed with, they have no idea who it could be. Like, they're not even close to anyone. Like, the only one, Tyler, was kind of close with Garland, but now that's been, I think that was ruled out this week. So there's no, like, oh, well, maybe let's just try throwing Bree with this person, because they may have a connection. But they have no connections, at least that we've seen.
Right. I mean, this is where it comes down to, like, the strategy. Like, if they were actually able to better track who they were all matched with, they would know that Tyler only has one other option, but...
Who is Tyler's other option?
Leighton.
Okay.
And so that's why, like, yeah, I'm looking at a chart right now, so it's easy for me. I think if they were... Like, a couple people only have, like, two matches, but they have no idea on the show.
Right.
So do you think... So I think it's the consensus with the listeners who wrote in that the smartest move is to send Brandon into the truth booth. So Nick Fishman asks, do you think personal feelings will get in the way of the smartest move next episode of putting Brandon into the next truth booth?
I think anything personal feelings will get in the way of throwing him in. I think people would want him to leave the house because they're annoyed by him. So if anything, I think that would be the case. I don't think people put their personal feelings to keep him in the house.
No, I'll agree with that. So Christina Narr then asks, adding to Nick's question about sending Brandon into the truth booth, which is the smartest move, do you think they'll ever take Christina out of the equation? I like her, but it's much easier to figure out without her.
I think for the matchup ceremonies, it is a lot easier if she's not involved. But I don't think they will, because someone's always going to be hung up on her and want either to pick her or for her to pick him, and then they choose her. So I don't think she'll... I think her being left out last week was the anomaly. I don't think that's going to happen again.
Yeah, I think that these guys take the matchup like way too seriously, as in you're showing your interest. So I think that if like Christina were to pick Nate and Nate picked the girl he was with for strategy, like that would be drama as opposed to smart.
Right.
Christina's like really trying to leverage it so that she stays. So I don't think she's going to likely step out to make it more strategic and easier for them. So I don't see this season them figuring out that it's better to have Christina as an outlier, but in fairness to them, they've never seen a season like this. They've never seen how it plays out. I think if there is a third season, this one extra person twist, if they use it, may not be as difficult because they may know how to deal with it better, but who can say?
Mm-hmm.
And then Garland, Justin, Alex, and apparently Justin and Alex have both put Garland in the friend zone.
Apparently, and apparently those, Have we seen Garland and Alexandria interact at all? He said like that would, this was his top two, but I don't remember them having a conversation.
I just think that Alexandra is the most forgettable person in the house. So anytime she's on screen, I forget about her. I still remember her bio. Her bio was very memorable, but on screen, she's totally forgettable. Great. So this is my favorite part. Just, I love Dario. They're like doing their usual like match countdown that we haven't seen because we haven't seen them get any lights. And Dario, when they get to five, he's like, if we get to five, I'm going to jump up.
I'll say this, when they're doing the lighting ceremony and they're like doing well like they did last week, it just seems like such an awesome thing to be a part of. It just feels like the ultimate craps table where everyone's just rooting, they're like cheering on. I still wish they had a shot of Alexandria, maybe like to see if she was like secretly rooting again, or not even secretly, openly rooting again. Like she was like, oh crap. Like at some point, like it's getting close to the part where if you're left out, if they win, you get nothing. So it's getting to that point where you're going to have to start rooting against the house.
All I could think about is, I think Pratt is the one that said this, but whoever said, let's see what's behind curtain number six for the sixth light, I hate. So if it was Pratt, I hate them. If it was someone Pratt. Else, I hate them. Well, that just works. That was so annoying.
I kind of thought that was kind of funny. Not going to lie.
Well, that's why we're podcast co-hosts and not friends. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll be the Twitter beef for the week.
I didn't say I hate whoever thought that was funny. I said I hate whoever said that.
Fair enough.
So covered my tracks. Okay, that's fair. There's something for everyone.
That was my backing up.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was clear.
Back it up.
More so than I normally am.
Well, Seinfeld action. Okay. So I think they're in a great spot. They get six matches, week seven, with so much information. And I think if they can put the information to work, which I think they did this episode, that they're in a good spot. What do you think?
What I liked is, I don't know, this was kind of like snuck in there, but right after the ceremony ended, it was like a cut to Brie, and she was like already thinking about what to do for the next one. I think she said like, oh, we have to switch like two people up next week.
But is she?
I don't know if that's like, I haven't really thought about if that's like the right move, but she was immediately back in game mode.
Well, I think that's the right move if you have 20 people. Right. But because of the extra girl, that's the point of it. Is like, you can't just switch two couples when you have six matches.
And that's why I still don't think they're in, like, I think obviously they're in better shape. Like, they needed this to take a step forward. But I think having six is just so much different this season than last season. Because they may have six, but if Alexandria is not the double match, they, whatever their setup is, they cannot win. So you need to figure out the double match to win. And I don't know if they're going to do that. And I still don't think they're going to win.
I'm looking right now. And six, seven, eight. I think every girl could still, with one guy, be the double match with Christina. If I'm reading this right, like really quickly off the top of my...
Like, I think unless they, in one of the next three truth booths, they either figure out Christina's match or they get lucky and whoever they find that is another perfect match is Christina's double match, I don't think they're going to do it. I think it's just too hard if you don't know. If the 11th girl is still in play, it's too hard to figure out at the end.
Unless they're sitting her... Yeah, because sitting
unless,
her
unless
out...
Unless they sit her out. Unless they sit her out at the 10th ceremony, and I don't think they will.
Sitting her out is the only way to ensure that you're not having a double match split up during that matchup. So, we'll see. Let's see. Just some final questions from the audience. Hera Saeed says, do you think anyone from this cast is still together a la Ethan and Amber? And which perfect match would surprise you the most?
Well, obviously, if somehow Curtis and Shelley were together, that would surprise me the most. But I would lean more towards Jenny and John being together than Pratt and Paris.
Jenny and John. Yeah, I would like Jenny and John to be together.
I don't think any of them are, but that's where I would lean.
But just in general, like anyone from this cast still being together, they don't necessarily have to be a perfect match.
I don't think anyone is, but I don't know.
I'm going to look. I'm just looking based on like who could still be a match. I mean, if Tyler and Leighton were a match, I'd be surprised.
Do you think like Brandon and Christina are together right now?
I don't think Brandon would appreciate how Christina's portraying him right now in these episodes. I don't know how, I don't really know how you could be together watching someone hook up with John and hook up with Nathan and hook up with whoever else to find someone that's not you. Like, I understand why she's doing it, but there are ways to play the game and maintain your relationship. And she didn't want to do that. So I don't blame her at all, but I just don't think that you can form a relationship based on that. Agreed. But we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting. I cannot wait for this reunion.
Yeah. I know it's only going to be like an hour thing, but I really wish they like kind of blow it out and make like a 2 hour type thing or two part. But it's just, I feel like I'm like so excited for it, but I feel like it's going to be a letdown just because the way they cut it to like 40 minutes and stuff like that. But
think positive. No.
I was optimist all episode. I can be negative now.
Christina Nahr is the person who talked about working out Brandon's match. So we just referenced it so many times I wanted to say. And then the last question I have comes from Twitter. Happy You, Happy Me tweeted at us. Do you think the producers made sure there were multiple, quote, near matches to keep episodes exciting?
No, I think if you start thinking producers are playing a game of like Jenga here by mixing and matching matches, I think that'd be too complicated for them. I think they had, if you want to say that maybe they put people together that shouldn't be together, then maybe I can believe that conspiracy theory, but I don't think they're changing matches during the season.
No, I don't think that's what they're saying. I think, did they cast like four people who could all like each other on purpose and then say like, you're the perfect match, but they knew they would be tempted by... It's kind of like what Nathan was talking about. We didn't get into this, but Nathan in the deleted scene is explaining the logic behind the double match. And I don't know if this was told to them or if Nathan's just pretending like he knows things that he doesn't. But Nathan is saying, Nathan is saying that the double match is not about the girls. It's all about the guys. And it's which guy could like two completely different things as opposed to which girls are similar and would like the same guy. So it's all about the guy. And he gives, honestly, he said Angelina and Jennifer so smoothly that I thought he was talking about two people on the show. Like, what? I did not.
At first I felt that too. Like, what show am I watching? And then I thought he was talking about people from back home and I still didn't understand he was watching. And
until I thought he was talking about his exes. Yeah, I thought he was talking about his exes.
And then until he finally said that about Jennifer being in movies, I'm like, oh my God, he's talking about his ex with Julian and Jennifer Addison.
So basically for anyone who didn't watch this deleted scene, I think this week's is worth watching, but he is basically saying that the perfect match, the dual match, will be someone like how he's so sexually attracted to Angelina Jolie and yet Jennifer Aniston's like the sweetheart, and that one guy could like both of those girls. And I think that's like fair, but he's so confident that that's what the match is that it's weird. Like, and also he assumes it's him. He's like, yeah, like Jess and Christina. Which, like, fair, I could see it. But
Jess and Christina do fit that mold. So, I mean, it could be that. But I don't know if it's with Nate.
It cannot be with Nate. But it just, like, frustrates me because he's just so, like, this is what it is. It's about the guys. And it's separated by two different things guys like. I'm just like, who told you this? Was this in the contract that I didn't read? Like, did I miss an episode? Because I've been known to miss a few things.
Yeah, well, you did miss an entire episode.
That's how rumors get started. I've seen every episode.
Have you?
And every after match, and sometimes twice.
That's actually true. Amazingly.
But that's all I got for this.
Yeah, I think that's all I got too. So, not the big news. I don't want to build this up too much. But we will be speaking... Assuming you guys listen to this on Wednesday, which I don't understand why anyone wouldn't, but we will be speaking to Brianna later that night, so later that Wednesday. So we will have another thread up for questions that you can ask her about the season and the show and whatever you want. We'll fester in some more questions, but we're looking forward to getting her take.
We're going to fester in some of our questions?
It's late, all right? I can't speak anymore. The fact that I was able to talk coherently for this long without saying something stupid, give me a little credit.
Hashtag fester.
It's not fair. It's hard to talk for this
hashtag
long.
Hashtag fester. But yes, no, seriously, we're going to work in a lot of your questions for the interview, so please send them our way.
Yeah. And then, obviously, if you're enjoying this, which if you made it this far, then you definitely are, please subscribe to our podcast at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. or you can just search for it on the iTunes store. And assuming you made it this far, that means I imagine you're liking our podcast. So please give us the I think it's 5 stars. I always say it wrong, but whatever the maximum amount of stars you can give
it's us. It's 5 stars.
It is 5 stars. So please give us that. And add a little, a nice comment. Nice comments, please. So Leighton, please don't comment.
So I'll give you two choices between the hashtag for this one. Do you want it to be hashtag Fester or, you know what, I completely forgot the other one. So that was the plan.
Let's do hashtag completely forgot.
Oh, or hashtag tubes of meat, but I don't really like that one.
No, that could be a dark wormhole to go down.
I think we have it in hashtag Fester.
Anything that can make fun of me, let's do it. Hashtag Fester.
Hashtag bride. No, let's do it. Yeah, hashtag Fester, and you can tweet at us or follow us on Twitter. Look how I did the plug.
Yeah, you're leading it in. Oh my God.
I just want to go to bed. At Lash Tweets.
At Bus Drivers Are Out.
You do this.
I think that's it, right? We plugged everything. Check back for their interview with Brianna later on. Until then, that's it. All right. Have a good one, guys.